Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill. How are you?
Swell. How are you?
I am muddling through the end of the year, hoping for a minimum of contention, which I don't know is really going to happen, and hoping for a more peaceful new year, and we'll see whether that happens.
So what is it? What did they say about intentions and paving stones on the road to wherever?
Yeah,
good intentions. Yes. Good intentions.
Well, it's not an intention; it's just a wish. I think I should actually probably do something about it, but I don't know. You know, the level of civility has just sort of ground me down to a certain extent. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone in that. What got me thinking? We've survived one holiday, but we are fully immersed in the holiday season. And if this year has proven anything, it's that people are very wedded to their realities, whatever they are, their own realities,
and
that makes it. That can make it absolutely fascinating, she said diplomatically, to try and sit down or to even have a convivial glass of grog with someone, or non-grog,
well,
depending.
Because
it's almost as though someone were doing old cartoons where you're each individual is either talking over the head or under or around the other person. And basically getting cross because there's apparently no common ground. And I just remember being taught at an early age that if you're going to talk to someone, there is something that you can find to talk about. And
I think it's getting harder because things are just more divisive, you know, and maybe there's not even the will anymore to do that. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, people would make the effort to, let's just change the subject because we're not going to agree on this. The borders of the boundaries keep getting pushed, and so it gets harder and harder for a lot of people to walk away because they take whatever the disagreement is, whether it's over, you know, whether or not there should be parking permits in the neighborhood, to whether or not there should be impeachment, to, you know, everything in between, which is pretty broad spectrum. They take everything personally because they feel like everything is personal.
Well, other than thanking, you're sending lots of notes to Steve Jobs for that, and Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, whomever, because much of that has, in my view, like it or not, come from let's just say a lack of editing, the ability to sit and say whatever you want to say without anyone sitting there, without saying that to someone's face, or without anyone sitting there saying, hey, are you really sure you want to put that up there right now? Because, you know, the repercussions could be pretty stellar. But since that, let's just say that entire pack of horses is that herd's out of the barn. What I am wondering is if we could bring certain people back to life who modeled us. What would they say? Like, for example, what would your dad, if you basically went home and said to your dad, "Hey, this is what happened." What would he counsel?
Well, I think it depends on what this is, but if it was like a big blow up argument, he would probably say, if you know that's a hot button issue, why would you even go there in the first place? Just don't, you know, or just announce as you walk in the door, okay, I'm here for lunch, not here for a lecture, not here for an argument. Love you, haven't seen you in a long time. Catch me up on your family.
So that would, I mean, that could, I don't know if that would work for parking permits, but that should, no, but that
it would not work for parking permits, but it would work for some other things. It would work for political arguments and some other stuff, but yeah.
But yeah. That, I mean, that was just a given. That was just a done. I was talking to somebody else the other day. We were, and she was allowing as to how her, one really key moment in her life and just that changed her approach to things was mm-hmm. she was much younger and she was in school and she got into trouble and she was one of those kids that, you know, really tried very hard to be, to not get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, she first, we in the present, talked about how at that time, if you got into trouble at school, it was for the teachers to handle and how different it is now. Because mm-hmm. most, you know, a lot of parents don't want that imposition of discipline or on their kids. But
yeah.
She was very specific about going home and telling her dad that, because her mom was completely unsympathetic, that, you know, she had gotten into a difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And her dad saying to her, well, basically, sorry about your luck, but you shouldn't have put yourself in that position where.
Right.
And
her dad and my dad are the same person.
I understand. But what it did 30 years on, 40 years on, is it made a massive impression in how she conducts and filters information and interacts with people. And she interacts with people all day long. And, you know, you're not going to agree. You're not going to agree with. There's no chance. There's no shot at agreeing with everybody about everything, even if you don't live in polarized, divisive times where you're being reminded every 15 seconds that it's polarized or divisive, so therefore you've got an excuse to be polarized and divisive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, because I think that certainly a percentage of the people, I'm not talking about the youngins necessarily, but they could learn from this too, but a percentage of the people did have parents who basically said, yeah, okay, so how are you going to, like, instead of being victimized by this situation and falling prey to it, how are you going to make it work or turn it? Or, you know, there are some things that you simply cannot fix. You are not going to convince someone who is a member of the Flat Earth Society that it's round. Why would you?
Well, and I think my dad would just say, and why is it worth it? If you know that they're going to want to argue about this, just skip that event or say, you know, I'm busy for lunch, or just don't go.
And do you think
now,
that any...
it's harder if it's your cranky Uncle Fred, you know, and you love his wife, Aunt Lola, and she always does the week before Christmas family dinner. That's harder, but I still think it's manageable. It's like, look, I just don't, I'm not, I'm trying to de-stress what is a stressful time, and I know what's going to happen, and so I'm going to drop a cake by, and I will come visit with you later on in the holidays, but I'm not doing this.
And that is so, I can't think of a better word than liberating. It's so liberating just to have it as an option, rather than...
It's okay to say no.
Yes, there is a saying, I believe it's called no is a viable option. It really is okay to say no. I think that one of the things that a surfeit of options has created for people is since they don't feel like they've got to say yeah, they don't feel, there's too much to say yes to, so they don't feel like they can say no. They feel like no is the other side of that not saying yes coin.
It's costly, you know. It's gonna land you, you know, because what's happening is that people are getting run down, which makes them more susceptible to catching whatever it is that's
right
in the air and on subways and whatever. And so, you know, you spend what should be time off in bed with a big box of Kleenex, or worse, you know, hurling into your trash can. That's not fun. And we have some responsibility for saying, you know what? If I go out five nights in a week because there's this, and this, you know, all these different constituencies I have to please, I'm going to be a rag at the end of it, and it's not going to do anybody any good. So I'm going to only go to two or three, the end. You know, we'll do the other ones I didn't go to next year.
And because you, that's a great word and a great concept, constituencies, because people do have a lot of constituencies.
Yes.
Are you a proponent of merging them or
no.
not?
Because I think often they're disparate and they don't have a whole lot in common. And so, you know, it's like that person who gets invited to a whole bunch of parties and figures at some point, oh, okay, I'm going to have a big party and pay everybody back and invite everybody who's ever invited me over the past couple of years to a party. Well, you know, they don't necessarily jive. Your church group and the crazy artists may be at total, you know, sort of staring at each other like, what do I say to this person? And in smaller groups, maybe you have time to go around and create context. You know, Zazu, I've known Jill since I was 3 years old, and we sat next to each other in Hebrew school until we both revolted and said we weren't going to go. And Jill, Zazu and I met a couple of years ago when we did this project on blah, 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 and we just clicked, and she has the same sense of humor as you. But that's, I mean, how much time did I just take doing a hypothetical? You can do that in a room full of 40 people? I think it's hard.
I think it's close on impossible, and I'm not a social butterfly. I just, I've never had great success. I like bringing interesting and different individuals together, but not constituencies.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, it's as opposed to you're being invited as part of a big group. No, you're being invited because you and I have established a friendship, and we think each other are interesting or funny or whatever, and I want to introduce you to a couple of other people I think you would also like, as opposed to, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous group, meet
yeah, right.
my
Jazzercise
group.
Exactly.
I mean, there might be stuff in common, but you have to work to establish that, and I don't know that this is, like a party like this, is a good
holiday mixer.
For doing that.
A good holiday mixer. It's too daunting. It's too daunting. But you should definitely have the, you know, there's flexibility in this. There's nothing. It's always been somewhat entertaining to put together a group of, you know, by group I mean six or eight people that, you know, that you might like a lot and that they're going to play off one another.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
a group of 60. Times everybody isn't going, or even 10, 12 is way too many to comfortably merge.
Then it starts to look like Holly Golightly's townhouse party and breakfast at Tiffany's, and we all know how that ended up.
Thank you very much, Karen Gracie Bates. Do the Right Thing.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.